John chapter 20. I think someone asked one year, Pastor, since the service is starting at 10, you're not going to go till noon, are you? I don't think so. I think I'll have you here at least by 11:55. Amen. It is a joy. It's been a great morning. Many of us, it started very early. Sunrise service went very well. I think we had a record number in our sunrise service. I think somebody told me they counted about 127 people for the sunrise service. So that was very good. I'm sure the weather helped with that number. And I'm grateful for that. I think it was like 60 degrees this morning. And wow, that was great. But just a sweet spirit in the service. The testimonies were great. Appreciate you all doing that. And then just breakfast together, Sunday school together, back in our Sunday school classes. That's a blessing as well. If you would, please consider being here for Sunday school. That's where you can really connect on a more personal level with the members of our church. And we have several great classes in our church, adult classes, and of course for the kids. Our kids' teachers, I believe, are the best. A little bias there, but I love the way they pour into the young people. They prepare their lessons, and I just am so thankful for each of them. So that's every Sunday, but this was special times today because we figured it's just easier just to do the 7, 8, 9, 10, all right? So please do me a favor. If you see some of our friends coming in as you're leaving, just greet them very lovingly and say, Pastor, we'll meet with you after the service. No, really, we are grateful for what the Lord's doing here in our church. I can't thank Him enough for His presence and His encouragement to us. Our church has gone through some difficult things recently, and we've suffered some earthly loss. We know Miss Doris is having her first Resurrection Sunday in heaven. Amen. And Steve and Linda, I'm glad you could be here, and others watching, tuning in live stream, thank you for participating in our worship today. But yes, we miss her and Brother Tim Sparks. Just, he's rejoicing first Easter in heaven. There, the risen Lord, and I just think about that. And our church has also gone through some physical struggles. We have folks that have had surgery. We have several that couldn't be here today because they're just had really serious surgeries and they're home recovering, and hopefully they're tuning in live stream. They may be. If you are, we love you. We're praying for you. And, but it's just, those are some things that we are experiencing on this side. Did you catch that? Because we're going to a place, those that are in Christ and have been saved by the grace of God, we're going to a place where we won't experience either one of those. No separation from loved ones, and no sickness and no sorrow, no struggle. We are on our way, but until then, the Lord wants us to take the message of hope to a lost world. And I want to thank you for being here today. I truly am grateful. I don't ever want to take that for granted. Thank you for being here to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And I trust that we'll be able to do that by the power of His Spirit. This morning I preached on at 7 a.m. about how Peter and John received a message from a lady by the name of Mary Magdalene, or Magdalene. She was one of Jesus's closest followers. She was a dedicated Christian, faithful. And I want to really look at her life a little bit, especially in the context of that resurrection morning. As we look at our passage here, would you join me? I've read this passage once and this morning, but we'll read it again. John chapter 20, verse 1, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulcher. This morning I want to preach a message to you entitled Mary Magdalene, a woman that sought after Jesus Christ. A woman that sought after and pursued Jesus Christ. And I believe if we look at her heart this morning, in light of the resurrection, we will see a reflection of our own hearts. We struggle with many of the same things that I'm going to speak of about Mary here in just a moment. But God brought her, thank God, to a decision point. Aren't you grateful for the Lord bringing us to decision points? Whether you realize it or not, He's bringing you to those points every day. In some way. Sometimes they're little decisions. And then sometimes they're big decisions. Sometimes it's many little decisions that lead to a really big decision. But nevertheless, the Lord is leading us through our life. And I want to look at her life. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, I need your help. You're so good. Please just use me as a vessel. I confess to you, I have no power of my own. And I dare not even try to think that I can persuade anybody here of your truth. I totally commit that responsibility to the work of your Holy Spirit. I pray that you would take the things that I have studied and reviewed and prayed over, and Lord, that you would just speak to the precious people before me. And I trust that, Jesus, you will get all the glory. God, you are the only one who is deserving of it. And we honor you, and we love you, and we commit our lives to you once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this lady is mentioned in three of the Gospels here at this resurrection passage. Three of the four resurrection passages, her name is specifically mentioned as going to the sepulcher. And she is also recorded, as I'll mention here, as the first one that got to see the Lord. She was the first one that got to talk to the Lord. She's the first one that got to hear the Lord's voice after He had been resurrected. She was the first one to receive an exhortation, an encouragement from the Lord. And she was also the one that would get the first command to go from the Lord. It's what a privilege, what an honor as we think upon how God chose her to be that one. But you know, even as we look at this, we see grace all over the place. I see grace all over her life. She was a woman that we know was possessed with seven devils. And we know that she had infirmities. The Bible says that clearly. She had those sicknesses. We don't know what all of that meant. But we know that she was in a bad place. Ladies and gentlemen, every human being can give that testimony. We're all born into this world in a bad place. You may grow up in a good home, and I hope you have and will and do. But I will say this, spiritually speaking, we all are in a bad place coming into this world. Well, nevertheless, she met the Lord. She met the Lord, and God changed her life. The Lord Jesus did, and she became one of His faithful followers. Now, she would have heard the messages that Jesus preached. She would have seen the miracles along with the other disciples as they traveled with Him. There's even a passage that said that she and the other ladies ministered unto the Lord in a sense that I tend to believe that they were so faithful that they even helped support the Lord's ministry. While He was out teaching and preaching, they took that responsibility to invest in supporting the Lord. But there was a close relationship. Now, there through the church history, there's been some really misunderstandings about her, too. You know, a lot of questions, maybe some controversy over her identity, who she was. Some would say she was even the one that was the woman caught in adultery. Even some would say that she was the sinful woman anointing the feet of Jesus. Some would say she was Mary of Bethany. Some would say different areas of life and of different identities. And I'm not getting into all of those things. But truly, the things that I've mentioned cannot be clearly stated dogmatically from Scripture. She is, though, the first one that saw the Lord. She is the one. Now, there have been some writings, some the Da Vinci Code. That's nonsense. The writings there, also the Gnostic Gospel of Philip and all these others, extra biblical writings and just that are not in God's inspired word. They're not a part of the canon. And listen, just as a word of caution, don't trust writings outside of this writing. This is what has the authority, ladies and gentlemen. Can we learn some things from extra biblical writings? With caution, of course. But we have to be very cautious on letting those writings be authoritative. They don't carry authority, friend. This is the authority. And so as we see her life described here, we're grateful for her testimony. Her, of course, her name being Mary was a very common name. I didn't realize this until this study, but during Jesus' time, Mary was probably the most popular name. In fact, some believe that there was as many as one of every four ladies' name was Mary. A quarter of the women there of that time. The same was the situation with Simon. Simon was also a very well-known and used name, a very common name. But even in the New Testament, we know of at least six of Marys that are spoken of in the Word of God. But in all this confusion, I believe Mary Magdalene has often been really unfairly labeled as someone that was a sexually immoral woman. And there's no evidence of that in Scripture. Okay? We know that she was possessed with demons and we know she had those infirmities, but it's not clearly spelled out what her sin was. And by the way, I'm grateful that that was not spelled out in that situation, because I feel like the lesson that is learned, that we all have our demons that seek to attack us, that seek to harm and hinder us. I believe that we all have our certain infirmities, do we not? But what I see here is, it's not spelled out that way, but it is clear that she was delivered. And when she was delivered by Jesus, she committed her life to Him. And I hope that's our testimony too. That we know what God has done for us, and we are a work in progress, no doubt about it. Even when you get saved, you're growing. You're growing in the Lord. But nevertheless, I want to look at how she responded this resurrection morning. And I want to say, first of all, she was very scared. The Bible says that when she arrived, from the other accounts as well, let's just say this, she freaked out. It's interesting, if you study the passages in depth, you will find clearly when you compare the Gospels, Mary Magdalene did not stick around to see the angels. She ran. As soon as she recognized that the tomb was open, she did not stick around to investigate as the other women did. And that's a testimony for those women. She didn't start off real strongly. Mary Magdalene did not. In fact, she made a beeline to who she thought were probably the two that she wanted to hear this, men that she trusted, men that she felt like were leaders, men that she felt like cared, and that just happened to be Peter and John. So she went back and she told them, but what she told them was out of a heart of unbelief. It was at a heart of struggle, and she was not believing in the resurrection. In fact, you'll recognize very quickly as you study the Gospels, the disciples, even the closest to Jesus, were not believing the resurrection. They were all in doubt, as I said in the sunrise service. They were all struggling with that doubt and unbelief and even that guilt and shame. But nevertheless, there were some that were still seeking. Praise God for those that won't give up. The resurrection is a message of hope that we should never give up, because He never gave up. He gave us the victory, but nevertheless, she was scared. You've been there. Maybe you're in a scary place in your life right now. But I want you to notice something, that we can't give her too hard of a time. I give all the ladies credit, and of course the disciples on this. Some, maybe you wondered, why didn't they go earlier? Why'd they wait till Sunday morning? It was because, see, the Sabbath day. And they honored the Lord with the Sabbath day, and they waited. And I think that's a good testimony. Let's give them credit where credit is due, right? Here's the thing. Think about this. If they would have just said, well, listen, this is so awful, we're going to go find out now what's going on, because obviously they didn't think Joseph of Arimathea would and Nicodemus were sufficient enough, and they're putting the spices and the oils and whatnot on the body and the linen that goes into that whole process. But nevertheless, that's why they were going. Perhaps it was an insufficient job, but they wanted to complete it. But nevertheless, they waited until that Sunday morning. Imagine if they would have gone Saturday, they would have missed the blessing. We got to be careful, folks. God's doing some amazing, miraculous things, but we cannot force Him. We have to wait on the Lord. Sometimes we are guilty, I know I am, of trying to perform a miracle. It'll never happen. I don't perform miracles. God does. I look to Him. I ask Him. I cry out to Him. I rest in Him. I have to come back and repent. But when it comes right down to it, God's got to work. And they had enough sense to wait, and they did wait. But Mary Magdalene missed out on the blessing of being able to hear the message of the angels, because the message she took back to Peter and John was, like I read just a moment ago, she said this, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher. The reason she said that is because she didn't hear the message of the angels. Remember what the angels said? They gave the other ladies a message that He is risen. Why ye seek the living among the dead? He's alive. Those angels gave those ladies that message, but Mary she didn't get it because she was gone. She panicked. And folks, if I could give you some encouragement before I move to the next point, understand that in the Christian life, let's avoid going into panic mode. Because that's when you will take matters into your own hands. That's when you'll try to carry the load. That's when you'll try to go ahead and perform the miracle. But I'm telling you, you wait on the Lord. But she did. She was scared like anybody. But not only was she scared, she was skeptical. Anybody here this morning struggling with skepticism? Yeah, not too sure that the Lord really is who He says He is. I'm not too sure if He is risen. I'm not too sure about that. I'm not too sure about this deliverance that He's promised and in the Word of God. And not too sure. Maybe there's some skepticism in your heart in some way about your Lord. That was her heart. Because God had told her over and over, Jesus had told her that He would rise from the dead. He would. Just like He told the other disciples. She had heard her Lord's voice. And I believe she loved the Lord, but she was struggling with some doubt, some unbelief. And I want to tell you something that I found in my life, and maybe you have found it to be true in yours. Unbelief makes a royal mess of things. And I just get into a dark place in my life where I stop believing the Lord. Oh my. She was in a dark place. And she was not giving a message of hope. You see, when she goes back, I believe the second time, I believe she's with all the ladies. And with all the ladies there, and there's a list of the names. There's another Mary, the mother of James. And then there's Joanna. And I always remember Joanna. And there's other ladies there that were together that were going to, I believe, come to Peter and John that second time. And the second visit, I believe, was way different than the first one. You see, her first message, she had nothing but doubt. They've taken Him. They've taken on her Lord. And praise God, let's look for the positives too. She still referred to Him as Lord. She said, but they've taken Him. We know not where He is. It was not a message of hope. But God's going to work with her, even in her skepticism. And if you're doubting here today, what I encourage you to do is to at least seek the Lord in your doubt. He knows you're struggling anyway. He knows where you are. Let Him meet you there. Say, God, I'm struggling. I don't see You. I don't sense You. What's going on? This is bad. God wants you to be honest, and God will reveal Himself to you. He will help you. He helped her. In fact, this is the grace. I don't know. I just feel like of all the people that, and I'm sorry. This is my carnal side. I just feel like of all the people, why would you choose the one that ran away from the tomb to talk about her disbelief? Why not choose one of those other ladies that stuck around and said, hey, let's go and see what's going on here. The tomb's rolled away, and then the angels started speaking. No, she picked the one that bailed out. Can I just say that's grace? Do you see that? God loves pouring His grace upon people that are wandering in the wrong direction. Hallelujah! And yes, He blesses His children that are loving Him and following Him. But remember His parable about the 99? Remember the parable? The one that wandered off? Grace is all over this lady, and God is expressing that, and she's going to be the first one He talks to. and even in that, I have to come to a close here. There's so much I want to say, but I just want to say with the Lord, she didn't stop searching. She was scared, she was skeptical, but thirdly, she kept on searching. She kept on looking. She went and told Peter and John. She expressed the discouragement there to them. That wasn't encouraging. But then even after that, get this. After that, she would go back with the ladies and she would express what the Lord has done. But it comes with a testimony of her going back to the tomb. She didn't stop searching. She went back. We don't know the exact time frame of everything, of the how many minutes and seconds or whatever the distance was from where they were in the upper room hanging out. I don't know if it was a 5-minute walk. I don't know if it was 15 minutes. I don't know the exact distance, but I do know this. She went back by herself. And what she did is she fell on her face. She fell on her knees and she was still weeping. She was broken. She loved Jesus, but she just thought that it was over. She was not thinking of His promise of the resurrection and hope, and she had lost hope. And it's there where God is going to meet with her again. Even, first of all, through angels. The angels began talking to her. We could go back and look at it at Luke 24. And the angels saying, What's going on? Why are you weeping? And even the angels talking to her, as we even mentioned in Sunday school, it didn't really seem to faze her so much. She's so distraught, it's not even really clicking with her. Now that the angels are speaking, and as if that wasn't enough, praise the Lord, then the Lord shows up. This is the first appearance of our Savior. He shows up to a woman that is just filled with unbelief. And let's go look at the passage. It says here in John chapter 20, after the two angels had spoke to her there in verse 12 and 13, why are you crying? Why are you weeping? And then verse 14, she turned herself back and saw Jesus. She didn't recognize Him. She didn't know it was Jesus. Look at verse 15. This is the first appearance. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Can I submit to you that the first statement that Jesus made in His resurrection form was a statement of compassion? Why are you crying? Why? And then He says, why weepest thou? But then the second question He asked is, whom seekest thou? She, supposing Him to be the gardener, said unto Him, sir, if thou hast borne Him hence, tell me where thou hast laid Him, and I will take Him away. You hear the passion in this lady, don't you? I mean, Cooper, you think you could come over here and pick me over your shoulder and carry me out of here? What about your dad? You think you could pick your dad up and take him out of here? Nuh-uh. It'd take a lot of passion from your heart to even try. Well, you hear the passion in Mary's heart? Jesus was probably a normal sized man, average sized man, was maybe 170 pounds, maybe a little more, maybe close to 6 feet, 5'10", something. I don't know. We don't know all those things for sure, but maybe could it be 175 pounds. And then you put all the linen that is wrapped and saturated in those oils and the spices, it can add 100 pounds to the body. And here she is. Mary, she's like, you tell me where he is, I'll go get him. If she was just thinking, again, she's taking this thing in her own hands. But she had passion. You got to give her that. But nevertheless, Jesus is listening to her. She thinks He's the gardener. And we're coming to a close here. Look what happens. It says, Jesus saying to her, Mary. Oh. That's what got her, Brother Caleb. Brother Charles. That's what got her. He called her name. And I pray that everybody in this church, under the sound of my voice, hears God's voice calling your name. Nothing else will get your attention. Nothing else. But I implore you, I encourage you, hear Jesus' voice calling your name. Kathy, Joel, Dan, Lorraine, Tim. I could go through that. God's calling your name to give you a message of hope this morning and to remind you that He's alive and He's working. He's leading. He's the victor. And you don't have to be afraid. And He says, Mary, and she turned herself and said unto Him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And it's a deep title there that she gives Him. It's a very meaningful, rich title, and that is what the way she addresses Him is, my Master. And it's not just my Master, but it's my great Master, is the context implied. And boy, she rapped on to the Lord. And I would have too. She grabbed a hold of the Lord, and some people are critical of Mary in this, saying that she was being inappropriate. I don't believe that one iota. She was so enamored with the love of God, and when she recognized it was her Lord, she just latched on to Him. And what it implies here, from what I understand, is that the Lord was not forbidding her in the idea of just touching in general. It was the idea of, you got to let go. And the reason He was saying that you have to let go is because, number one, I'm going to be ascending to my Father. And because I'm going to ascend to my Father, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit of God, who's actually going to come live inside you. And He's going to live out my life through you. That's what He teaches, and that's what we understand the Word of God. But boy, do we see her heart here. She, Mary Magdalene in verse 18, came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that He had spoken these things unto her. She was surprised at this, but she responded wonderfully. She let the grace of God change her life. I don't know what all her struggles were before she got saved and even after. I know I see my ways and her ways are very similar, the way she responded to the Lord. But in closing, this morning, can we please just let our hearts be gripped with the grace of Jesus Christ, the way it gripped Mary's heart. And I'm thankful that in this dispensation that we're in, young people, where we live now, we're in the church age of grace, where Jesus has already ascended and all we're waiting on is for Him to come back. But now, please, church, listen. There's no restrictions on how much we seek the Lord. Amen. What about some uninhibited praise? How about some uninhibited seeking the Lord? There's no restrictions. Jesus is not telling anybody down here in this church or anywhere in this world, you're getting too close to me. Oh, that's a little too close. No, listen. Jesus is saying, bring it on. Seek me. Love Him. Praise Him. Adore Him. We talked about it the other night and Wednesday night about another woman of God who was seeking the Lord. Broke the alabaster over the head of Christ. It's worth possibly today's money, $50,000. And many of them stood by and murmured, and complained, criticized. But I just see here, these disciples were in a bad place, weren't they? But Jesus in His grace showed up and said, peace. Don't be afraid. Don't weep as if you don't have any hope. I'm here. And I hope that if there's someone here under the sound of my voice this morning that you don't know what this life is all about, you don't know where you're going to be in eternity, I pray that this morning that you will say, it is time. It is time for me to believe. It is time for me to be born again. It's time for me to trust Christ as my Savior.